I'm Jorgen Sundberg, and you're listening to Social Media Know-How, the Link Humans podcast. Today, we're going to talk about social media in recruitment. Okay, so I'm here with Andy Hedworth, who is the author of Social Media Recruitment, How to Successfully Integrate Social Media into Recruitment Strategy, as well as the managing director of Serona Consulting. He's also an influential blogger and speaker, and he's a long-suffering Liverpool Football Club fan. How are you doing, Andy?
I'm fine. Hello there, Jürgen, and thanks for the long-suffering. Not quite so long-suffering. No. Well-celebrated, I think the word is.
Oh, yeah?
But maybe not recently.
Okay.
Right. But no, thanks for having me today. I'm looking forward to it.
Pleasure. So let's start with the first question. Why does social media need to be a vital part of a recruitment strategy?
Okay, I mean, to me, there's several aspects to this. The first thing that we've all seen over the last few years that existing recruitment methods are not being as effective as they could be to find the best talent. They're still driving people to sites. They're still driving candidates or applicants to through job boards, through LinkedIn adverts, etc. But companies are not necessarily finding the caliber of the people they would like just from doing that method. The other side to that is that we know from statistics that everybody has between 4 and 5 social networks, some a lot more, some a few less, which gives us all a digital footprint. That's data that we can find as recruiters. It's data that we can engage with, communicate with, which is becoming a very big part of social media, the ability to talk, chat, engage with anybody you can find across multiple channels, which makes it a much more powerful way of reaching, I'm going to use the word passive talent because that's the buzzword, but reaching the talent that you won't necessarily get from just placing adverts and doing traditional recruitment methods.
And do you have a step-by-step guide to creating a social media in recruitment strategy? I'm hoping you'll have a good answer to this because you wrote the book on it.
I've got an eight-stage process.
Wow.
Which has defined, and I use this with clients regularly. So the first one is the most important thing, which is actually setting your objectives. So this is the thing that a lot of people don't do. So they don't actually know why they're doing it in the first place. So you and I have been around this industry long enough to know and have the experience of the CEO that decides to do social media because their son or daughter says they should do Twitter. We've both seen that. But so the first thing is understand your objectives for each of the platforms that you've done your homework on and decide that you're going to use. So, LinkedIn is different to Twitter, is different to Facebook, is different to Pinterest. So each will have a different objective. Number two then is, and probably combined with number one, is to define your audience. So understand what your audience is, what you're recruiting for, what they look like, where they're based, what sites they're on, create your persona and map that. And that takes some time, but that needs to be done effectively to get some proper results in social. Then it's a question of choosing your platforms. As I said in one, then you set your objectives for those platforms. So most people default and go straight to LinkedIn without even thinking about it. And especially in the IT and tech space, a lot of those candidates are no longer active on those platforms. They're on other ones. So, get rid of the assumptions and open your mind. Number four, make sure you choose the right people in your team that are best suited to and motivated to be involved with your social activities, whether that's sourcing on social, whether that's the community managers, whether it's the recruiting team that are actually doing the engagement and pushing the content out. They then need to be provided with very, very good training and understanding so that they are using the platforms correctly. That was stage five. Stage six, we look at the content. What's the content that's going to come out on those platforms? Is it going to be your content? Is it going to be other people's content? Is it going to be created by the employees? Whatever that looks like. And again, with the objective to meet your objectives that you set in stage one. So it might be branding, it might be attraction, it might be actually getting them to apply for jobs. Number seven and number eight is measurement and monitoring. You know, you have to measure what you're doing on a weekly, a monthly basis. It needs to be tweaked, changed to maintain the what you're trying to achieve. And on an ongoing basis, things need to be monitored. And this is monitoring for your brand, your website, your people, campaigns, and simple tools like Google Alerts and Mention.net, you know, are good starting points for that. But a lot of the big brands now have, you know, Radian 6 and Meltwater and all the other ones that are the big monitoring platforms in place. So that's the eight stages. Each one in its own right can get quite complicated, as you can appreciate. But that's the simple process that I use, and it works.
Great. So that's how to do it. How about how not to do it? What are some of the mistakes that you see companies doing and others should avoid?
How long have we got? I think it's the reverse of some of the strategy there I've just talked about there. So the first thing is not taking the time to do some homework first. So it's jumping in with two left feet and assuming that everyone's on a particular platform, or you think they're on a particular platform. So the first thing is not understanding your audience and where they are. Second thing is not enough focus. So again, you know, we see it regularly where a company will set up a LinkedIn company page, Google Plus page, Facebook profiles, Pinterest page, Instagram, and there's not enough focus. There's too much content required, and they're just blunderbussing it. So that's a big problem. So then we get to the content piece. It's like the me. They always talk about themselves. And, you know, it's not exciting enough, unfortunately, even for the big brands. They need to talk about, you know, them, their employees, what other people are doing, share other people's content. Posting jobs in streams too often is, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, they'd have got away with it. But now it's changed and people push back on that, I think. So it's a negative aspect. And the final piece is actually not reviewing it, not checking the metrics, not looking about how it's working, and just keep blindly posting and not checking to change it.
Gotcha. And employer branding is something that's closely aligned with talent and recruiting. What impact does social media have on in this field?
Huge, in my opinion. I think the availability of social networks has given everybody a voice. So that's potential employees, existing employees, you know, alumni from your company. And it's a voice to express opinion, talk about the company, talk about anything to do with that brand, brand as well as a company. So you add in the technology like mobile, the proliferation of video apps, image apps, mobile cameras, the ability to find or to share more content information about what it's like to work at that particular company. It's really helping employees now to get a feel for what it's like to work there. So it's a very powerful tool. And for me, it's no longer optional. Yeah, there is an expectancy now from a job seeker to go to a search engine, whether that's Google, or whether it's a career site search engine, and find information out about companies. We're seeing in America, Glassdoor, for example, is a lot bigger than it is here in the UK and Europe, but we're seeing them expand here as more and more people are looking to see what the brand is like online and what people are saying about them. So done well, it massively aids recruitment and retention. Done badly or even not at all, and I think we know how badly that can affect a company.
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned earlier in your step-by-step guide there, your eight steps, about content. Do employers and recruiters need a content strategy to be successful on social media?
I think they do. If they don't have a content strategy, they don't tend to post content. I think that's the simple answer to that. We both know how hard it is to create and find good content. I think the thing I would say to people is that when you talk about content strategies, there's an assumption that people are thinking we're talking about their own content all of the time, which I think is a mistake. I think that there aren't many people that can produce the volumes of content to post 4 or 5 times a day, 7 days a week, and keep it interesting and relevant to your audience. So I think that it's important for companies to look outside that, plan their content, plan what's coming up, not too far in advance. 3 or 4 weeks is more than enough to keep it current, but utilize external content targeted to your audience, supplemented by your own existing content to keep things interesting and fresh, and make sure, again, it's not about the me, but it's about our sector, our industry, and the relevance to the audience.
And should individuals, so let's say an agency recruiter, a person, should they be creating content themselves? Should they be writing blogs and doing videos? Or should they just procure and curate others' content and share that?
Both. Simple answer, both. I think they should. I think they should do both. They should curate other content, because that helps them, and that helps them share information about the market and the sector they're in. But also, you know, give their take, give an opinion. You know, and this doesn't. And you and I know it doesn't have to be written. It can be a quick video. It can be an audio like this. It can be, you know, it can be images.
Yeah.
And I think that's what people want to see, the real side of a company, not some purchased content all the time.
And you mentioned purchased content there. The question is, do you have to advertise on social to have success? And by that I mean, you know, you can do updates from Facebook pages and so on, but will it actually be seen by enough people organically, or do you have to put some money behind it?
Okay, well, first thing, I'll take that back to the objectives. So the first thing is, I say to someone, let's look at your objectives. If your objective is to maximize your reach, push content out there, and whether that's jobs, branding, well, it doesn't matter what it is, then I say, you know, Facebook, in their own wisdom, as an example, have made it pretty much impossible now to work on an organic strategy. Just take Facebook as an example. I think, is it 10% of your likes on your Facebook page are going to see organic content if you're lucky?
If that, yeah.
If that. So, I mean, that's 7 or 8% is the average, isn't it? So I think that you don't have any choice nowadays. I think the interesting thing is how you spend your money. Do you do pure Facebook PPC advertising down the right-hand side? Do you do sponsored posts? Do you do sponsored updates? And I think that's the interesting one, which comes back to mobile. So if you think about all the methods that we can advertise on social media, it needs to be a method now that goes through a mobile phone. So we know that 50% of LinkedIn's traffic is on a mobile. We know that also if you look at, I don't know how much traffic on Facebook, it's huge, is on a mobile phone, on a mobile app. You can't place PPC adverts on a mobile phone. So yeah, the actual strategy of social advertising has to be thought of carefully, and where that fits in, and what stream it comes in.
Yeah. And how do you measure return on investment, ROI, on social media recruitment?
Boring sentence, but it comes back to the objectives again. So you can do a number of different things. Some companies, at the moment, for example, I'm working with a couple who are literally, you know, day two and day three, well, not literally, but near us, damn it, and they just want to have numbers. To start with, they just want to get some traction. So, you know, we're looking at reach, we're looking at expanding numbers. So that's a question of, you know, measuring, setting some targets, measuring them and achieving them. So a very simple ROI, whether we're spending money to do the promotion or whether it's the time taken and the resources used. You could look at the exposure then of how big your the networks are, to start engaging with people that can expand your exposure, again, based on your objectives, and similar with influence. But for me, it's a very simple one on, sorry, I rephrase that. It's a very simple but also very complex one on a simple R&I, which is on placements. If you have a very good ATS, if you have a very good recruitment system or CRM system that you can track jobs, for example, or links, and it effectively tracks back into the system when people apply or come in via that method, then that's a very straightforward way of determining an ROI, because you can base it on, you know, direct applications, for example, from a link. The challenge with social comes in is, let's just say, you know, you as an organization push some content out, start engaging people in January. That candidate sees that content in January, it registers for the first time, it's your brand, and thinks, what a great place to work, but they're in a contract at the moment. But you stay in contact with them for 3 or 4 months, and it might be LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and you start to build a relationship, and eventually 6 months later they come to you. How are you going to track that initial contact, and what would that, you know, that source of the initial engagement come from be? Would it be that first time they saw you on that social network, or would it be the other ones subsequently? So I'm not convinced that's the easiest part to track ROI, maybe you start looking at the ROI of the engagement piece and measuring that. But I think that's still the piece that we are probably missing in the industry, the long-term tracking of initial contact.
Yeah. Okay, and do you have any examples of companies doing social media recruitment right?
There is a lot, more than people think. So there's a few favourites of mine. Maersk, I know you've covered them before in Scandinavia, I think are one of the best examples in the last few years of how to do it right. They've done it primarily on Facebook, I think, anyway, and done it in a very interesting way. They used images and they used their... so, for example, when Maersk went out, they asked their own employees, what do they use? I know you've done the interview. I think it's about 85% of them used Facebook. So they went to Facebook. They listened to where their staff were. They've done a very, very good job. Spotify do some very interesting things around sourcing and engaging candidates using their playlists to engage candidates, which I think is a really cute way of doing it. Boots the Chemist in the UK, traditional retailer, has been for ages. You know, some of the stuff that Mark Rice and his team and some are doing with Boots around engaging candidates. And we're talking about retail operatives here and retail assistants throughout a long 3 or 4 month period via Twitter, via Facebook, via Pinterest, Instagram, images, videos. Really nice way of engaging a candidate. And then when they're ready, then they then obviously go in and try and attract them as a particular candidate. KLM, the Dutch airline, I think it's still Dutch. Is it still Dutch? Or have they been acquired? I don't know.
I think they were acquired by Air France, but they're operating as KLM still.
KLM, yeah. So they've always done some fantastic stuff around social and brand, employer branding as well as recruiting. And we all chastise some of the big brands, sometimes like the big accountancy firms, that, and I won't mention them, but all the ones we all well know. But they do some really funky stuff now around, particularly aimed at graduates. So they go after that marketplace. And they use gamification, social media. They use all the different channels, you know, images, video, different attraction campaigns. So I think there's lots of examples, and they're the big ones that you see. But there are a lot of companies that are smaller that are also doing it well. And we shouldn't just look to the UK and Europe. There are examples that I've come across writing the book all over the world that we can bring back to the UK and take bits of them and use them for our own purposes.
Yeah, for sure. And... if you look at the future into the Sirona Consulting crystal ball, what trends do you see for the next 3 years in this space?
You like asking this question because it puts people on the spot. I know it does. Right, 3 years' time. So I think we'll carry on. I think there's an element of getting better at what we're doing now. So I think there's still a large proportion, certainly in the SME space, that are just coming around to social. So I think that's the first thing. In some places, there'll be no growth, but doing things better. Recruitment technology will then start to play catch-up. It's been very slow for the last 2 or 3 years, but I think we're going to see in the next 12 months, 14, 18 months, a lot of the big players who are well-known in the sector actually get their act together and finally get some integrations working better. I think we'll see the whole visual piece. The trend is visual, so videos and images, and I think eventually recruiters will catch on to this fact and do a lot more of the stuff that Steve Ward does at Cloud9 around, for example, visual job ads and visual ads that he then shares across, you know, multiple networks, because it's easy to look at and share with a link that takes them back to a place on his own, you know, his own website. I think two things around data we're starting to see now, and there's been some examples with some companies which is starting to use data. So we'll look at companies will pre-vet and pre-assess potential candidate pools or targeted candidate pools based on the quality of their social data and their social interactions. So without even potential candidates knowing about it, they will have been targeted and mapped based on how they conduct themselves, the things they say and how they talk on the social channels. And I think if you take that a stage further, we're looking at and there's a couple of fantastic bits of software that do this already, predictive recruitment based on social triggers. And what I mean by that is, you know, comments, words, keywords, phrases, actions, etc., that people make on social media, whether it's LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, whatever, are being mapped, recorded, and then converted to behaviors, insights, analysis for companies to make decisions on people about whether they should go out and, you know, hire them or start the conversation to engage them, or it gives them the trigger that, you know, John Smith or Jane Smith might be looking for work because she's done X, Y, and Z on these profiles. And we're not just talking about updating a LinkedIn profile. We're looking at something that's a lot more detailed and cleverer than that. So I think, you know, data is going to get used a lot more extensively for making pre-decisions, which is where a lot of the money is being spent in terms of the, you know, in all the technologies.
Great. And that was the questions I had. Where can people learn more about social media recruitment, and how can they connect with yourself, Andy?
Okay, well, any social network. I do have a unique name, so Andy Hedworth will find me. But Twitter is Andy Hedworth. LinkedIn, again, you'll find me on there. SoronaConsulting.com/blog is my award-winning blog. You didn't mention that earlier, did you? My award-winning blog.
Sorry, twice award-winning.
Twice, yeah. Currently the award, yeah, the UK recruitment blog of the year. And finally, obviously, you know, if you want to know about social media recruiting, the book is extensive. It is global, and it's a fantastic read, but of course I'm biased. So if you just go to Amazon, and maybe you'll put a link on it as well, but it's just put social media recruitment into Amazon. It's a nice bright blue book. You can't miss it. And it's an absolute bargain, so go buy it.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for your time today, Andy.
No worries. Thanks, Jürgen.
That's it for this episode of Social Media Know-How. Please tweet us with your feedback, questions, and comments. Do you like pizza, by the way? Do you like social media? We've just announced another speaker for SM London Live on the 11th of November, Tim Love, who is the head of social media at Pizza Express. And for those of you who don't know them, they're doing some excellent things on social media at the moment. Check out socialmedialondon.co.uk for more details. Hope to see you there on the day. Thank you very much for listening, and I will catch you next time.